But the title message this morning is how to respond when bad things happen. How to respond when bad things happen. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And this is what I was going to preach on last Sunday morning. I was out sick with the flu, and I think probably COVID as well, even though my tests were negative. But I really appreciate Justin filling in for me. I appreciate Bill filling in for me last week and not missing a beat. And really appreciate that. But this is what I was going to preach on. I think it's even more appropriate this morning of how to respond when bad things happen. Luke chapter 13 in verses 1 through 5. And if you would please stand in honor of God's word as you read this together. I want you to listen to this scripture because this is a very unique scripture, but it has unbelievable universal application as we're going to see this morning. In Luke chapter 13 verses 1 through 5, it says, there were present at that season some that told him, that told Christ, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So they were doing their sacrifices, and for some reason, there was some crackdown where Pilate had called in Roman soldiers that came in, and they killed people, murdered people, and mingled their blood with their sacrifices. So they come and they tell Jesus about this, and basically they're saying, what do you think about this? What's going on here? Verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the sinners, because they suffered such things. I tell you no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Verse 4. Or those 18, this is Jesus, the group that Jesus is bringing up. Or those 18 whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, how God, that your word and that you speak to every situation, every circumstance in life, every type of situation, every type of circumstance. And this passage we've read this morning is no exception to that. I pray that we can receive it. I pray, God, that you would give us understanding and wisdom. Lord, that you would give us insight and revelation, that God, that we can apply this to our life and to the innumerable situations to which this account, this message can apply. So, Father, we thank you, God, again. We thank you, God, for watching over Brady, for protecting him during this accident, God, over a week ago. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy that you have shown. And, God, we know the situation could have been drastically different. It's what we're going to talk about throughout the message this morning. But, God, we thank you and we praise you. And, God, we thank you for that and, God, for a million other things, a million other answered prayers, God, that we are enjoying and that we are experiencing here in this room this morning. So, God, we thank you, we praise you, and we pray for your power and your love to be manifested now during this time through your Holy Spirit. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So this passage of scripture, I raise the question, how to respond when bad things happen? How to respond when something bad happened? I get a phone call from Jana, says, Brady, you got to pray for Brady. He was in an accident. All I know is he still has all of his fingers. They're airlifting with UT. That's it. For probably 3 hours, 2 hours. That's all we know. So I'm thinking airlift, one of two things. It's the location or it's blood loss. It's his hand. So I'm hoping and praying this is just that he's in a remote location. I know he works in Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg and that area up in the mountainous areas. I'm hoping and praying it's because of a location and not because of blood loss. Two arteries severed. He could have bled to death. And guess what my mind's thinking? What's Tori going to do? What's Pearson going to do? What's Cindy Lander going to do? What if Brady... I'm getting off of myself in a classroom. I'm at work at that point. I turn off the lights and I close the door and I start praying and say, God, please don't let him die. Something bad's happened. Please spare his life. He's 32 years old. He's got a 5-year-old at home. He's got a wife. What are they going to do? And I'm praying. God, I don't know the details. You know the details. Spare his life. Don't let him bleed to death. God, get him there. I knew a girl in high school. She got shot accidentally through her hip. She said, about five seats down from me at lunch every day. One day she wasn't there. Found out she'd been shot. She had gotten shot the day before. Accidentally, someone was cleaning their gun. Got shot between. It went through her hip. They loaded her on LifeStar. She was talking. She was fine. She was stable. She died on the way there. I still remember that. And I'm praying, okay, he's being airlifted. Sometimes you don't make it. She was fine. She was talking. She was fine. And then she died on the way there. 15 years old. An empty seat at lunch. That's going through my mind. So how do we respond when bad things happen? Later we're praying a different airlift saying, God, spare his hand. Okay, I'm glad. Praise God. Thank you. He's stable. It's not life-threatening, but it could be life-altering. What if he loses his hand? God, we're praying. We're all praying, God, spare him. Having to be an amputee, to suffer this amputation. We're praying for that again. So something bad has happened. God has brought him through this, but you know we're still praying for that. So we think about when bad things happen, what's our response? And really what Jesus is talking about here, it's not at that moment. You know, how we react to that's very different, but as you reflect on that of thinking, why did this happen? After the event is over, after the initial emergency, and you're reflecting, maybe somebody's been killed, someone's been severely injured, life-altering injury, then how do you think? How do you respond when something bad happens, when bad things happen? One response is to think, what did they do to deserve this? What did Brady do to suffer something like this? Did he make the wrong decision? To go into well drilling? We start thinking that way. That's dangerous work. Why did he make that decision? You know, you start thinking those things about what, you know, or you, even more so what really Jesus is applying here. What do they do to deserve this? You think about this mentality in Scripture. Job's friends, when they came to see him, he suffered all these things. His life was completely destroyed. They came and sat down. What was in their mind? Their mind and in their lips was, what did you do to deserve this? What did you do? Millennia later, the disciples, one day they ask Jesus, there's this man who was born blind. What do they ask? Who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? What did Jesus say? Neither. But this isn't about sin, this is about the glory of God. And he heals him. One of the greatest miracles in the gospel, one of the most thoroughly investigated. Praise God for that miracle. But you see that mentality, and that mentality is still common today. But a more common response today, I think about my generation, people older than me, well, that's the way we tended to think of, like, what did I do to deserve this? What, did I make a mistake? Did I make the wrong decision? Why did this happen? God, are you punishing me for something that I've done? We think that way, but even a more common response today is more of a victim mentality, a self-righteousness, an outrage of injustice. Who's to blame for this? Who's operating that well? You said to stop. They didn't stop. Where's the safety equipment for this? Is his employer going to be held accountable? Yeah, praise God. His employer, he's working with him, helping with this. You know what? Accidents happen. But in our mind, we're thinking, who do I sue? I got to sue somebody. Someone has to, the government, somebody has to pay for this. It's amazing how strong that mentality is today. Who's to blame? I'm holding somebody accountable. Who? I don't know yet, but somebody will be held accountable for this accident, for this incident, for this tragedy, for this suffering. Who do I protest? I'm making a sign, and I'm going to protest something or someone. Who do I protest? Who gets the blame for this? Who do I sue? This is an outrage. I should have never suffered like this. And that mentality gets directed, it's at other people. You know, one mentality is I blame myself, saying, what did I do to deserve this? Another mentality is saying, what did you do? Whose fault is this? Who can I blame for this? And sometimes that gets directed at God. Why did you let this happen? Why did you let this happen? I don't deserve this. That's our mentality. I'm a deacon in my church. I love my wife. I'm there every time the doors are open. Why did you let this happen? Those thoughts go through our mind. Even to the point of saying there must not be a God, because if there was a God, he would have never allowed this to happen to someone like me. You see these mentalities. Thankfully, Jesus addresses these errors, and they're both errors, and many other errors, many other erroneous responses when something bad happens. Here's what Jesus is saying. Number one, yes, there is a biblical principle of you reap what you sow. And that comes out of Galatians chapter number 6, verses 7 and 8. You reap what you sow. But no. Not every accident or tragedy is the result of some personal sin and God's judgment on that sin. No, Brady didn't sin. That's not why his hand got destroyed in this well drilling accident. It's not because of some personal sin in his life. And the main, most important thing about that is you're not more righteous than him because you've not suffered something like this. That's what Jesus is really addressing. But he says the word no, nay, no. Suppose they were sinners above all sinners? No, they weren't. And Jesus has the authority to say, no, they weren't. This isn't God's judgment on some personal sin in their life. Not every accident or tragedy is the result of some personal sin and God's judgment on that sin. Number one. Number two, no. Just because you haven't suffered some tragedy, that does not mean that you're right with God. It does not mean that. Do not interpret it that way. That's how they interpret it. Jesus said, a rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. What? He's rich. He's blessed of God. He's right with God. No, he's not. Just because he was prosperous and rich does not mean that he was right with God. Number three, no. God doesn't owe you anything. Why did God allow this to happen? God does not owe you anything. Our self-righteousness is false. God does not owe you a life exempted from suffering, and he doesn't owe me a life exempted from suffering. That's a false idea. The idea, why me? Why not you? Why not me? God doesn't owe me anything. And Jesus is killing all these different false ideas about suffering in this life. And you notice these two events, one of these things, it covers such a broad spectrum. One is a freak accident. A tower falls and kills 18 people. It's a freak accident. The other one was intentional. It was persecution. Somebody caused it to happen. It was murder. It was persecution. Two huge categories. Someone does something evil to you, it falls in this category of Pilate. Some accident happens. There is no one to blame. An accident happened. It falls in this category of a tower falling. Two enormous categories. Two events. These two events and literally billions of others like them are clear reminders that we are sinners, fallen creatures living in a fallen world. That's what this is about. This is a fallen world. We should not be surprised by those phone calls, those text messages. Folks, this is a fallen world. This is a sinful world, and you and I are sinners. And in this world, there is suffering because there is sin. And unless we repent, I repent, you repent, we shall all likewise perish. Our day is coming. My helicopter ride, my ambulance ride, my day's coming, and so is yours. And so is every person you know. Their hospital stay, their obituary, it's coming. Our day is coming. And not just our day to die, but it's appointed man wants to die, and after this, what? The judgment. Very easily, two Thursdays ago, Brady could have been standing before God. I hear that accident. I think about working safety. I think you could have got pulled in. You could have got pulled in. It could have been so much more than a hand. You could have got sucked right in there, and it's over. What's here is now here. Sucked in. A cable broke? Are you kidding me? How did that cable break? Half-inch cable? How did that cable break? Half-inch cables don't break. So many things go through my mind as he's sitting there recounting that story. It could have been so different. It could have been Brady's day. To leave this world. Understand death, perishing is more than just perishing. Death is a portal into the presence of God. It is a portal into the judgment. Physical death is the portal. Our day is coming to stand before God, ours and everyone else's. That's what Jesus is saying here. Your day is coming. Their day came. 18 killed by a tower in Siloam. Headline news, your day is coming. That's what Jesus said. Hey, don't worry about them. You need to worry about you. Your day is coming. My day is coming. So in light of what Jesus has said, the most important thing in the world is not a fair and honest government. It's not safety protocols on the job. It's not building codes. What is the most important thing? You better repent. You better repent. Because here's the thing, no matter how careful you are, you can't prevent life from happening to you. I know Brady's careful. He's also tough. I can't believe how tough he is. I would not have handled it that well. I would not have been calling 911. I would have been passed down immediately. But I know Brady is careful. I know Brady is safe, probably a lot safer and more careful than I would be. You know, in my mind, you could easily become so hypocritical and say, oh, he needs to be more careful. There should be protocols in place, all this kind of stuff. He probably works 10 times as safe as I do. I've done so many stupid things. You remember, Tori pointed out one time, we were out here cutting trees up. I looked down, my pants were ripped right here, about that long, right on top of a main artery. Remember what that was? Chainsaw. Chainsaw. We've been out here cutting limbs. I'd given it a lot of gas. It was going fast. I thought it had stopped. I laid it down. It cut my jeans. There was a scratch. I mean, a tiny scratch. It didn't even bleed. Just a scratch on top of a main artery. Tori witnessed it and said, Jordan, what did you do? And I said, well, it appears I've cut my pants, and I can't imagine how close I came to what I almost did. That could have been very different. I mean, a fraction of a millimeter, half a millimeter probably. I'll show you those jeans sometime. Anyway, I've done so many stupid things. No, it's not because I'm safe and Brady's unsafe. It's life. It's life. And it's come for all of us have experienced it, and we're going to experience it more. That's what Christ is saying here. You're missing the point. This is a dangerous world because it's a fallen world. Unless we repent, in light of everything he said, the most important thing in the world is not a fair government. It's not get rid of the oppressive pilot. It's not building codes. It's not life insurance policy. It is that we repent. So what does it mean to repent? It simply means, what is repentance? Repentance isn't a term you hear outside of church. What does it mean to repent? Here, let me show you repentance. Here you go. I'm repenting. I've repented. That's repentance. You just witness repentance. It's turning around. It's a U-turn. It's going in one direction, and it's stopping and turning around and going in another direction. I repented of going that direction. Now I'm going that direction. It's a turning around. It simply means to turn. And here's the situation. We're in a fallen world. Now what direction are we falling? God is here. We had a relationship. He's our creator. We had a relationship with him, but we've fallen away. We have fallen away and we've ran away. And we are falling away from God. And when you fall away from God, guess what else you fall away from? We are falling further and further away from God, away from our creator, in the opposite direction. We are falling into sin and selfishness and rebellion and disobedience and unbelief and lies and evil and death and judgment. That's what's here. That is what's contrary to God. Darkness, lies, evil, death, destruction, and judgment. That's away from God. That is our direction. And unless we repent, we shall all likewise perish because we're all on this broad road going this direction. But God has made a way through his son, Jesus Christ, so that we can turn around. Repenting of all those things and to turn towards Christ, the Son of God, who is our creator, and now is also, if we will believe and trust him, he has become our Savior and our Lord. We can now, through Christ, we can turn around and we can turn towards Christ, who is love and truth and joy and goodness. We can turn to him in faith and obedience. We can turn to him to have forgiveness and eternal life. That's the gospel. Jesus has told us the truth. Unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. Unless we turn. Eternal separation from God. That's what it means to perish. That is truly perishing. As we get ready to close this morning, you know, that term perish sounds familiar. It seems like I've read that somewhere else. And what Jesus says here, you think about, he's saying, don't worry about a tower falling on you or Pilate attacking you or the government cracking down on you, our oppressors, our Roman oppressors. What you need to worry about is that you repent, that you're right with God. That's what you need to think about. Because unless we repent and turn back to Christ, turn back to God, we shall all likewise perish. So that raises the question, well, but what if we repent? What if we do repent? Well, that leads me to my next scripture. I remembered reading about perish somewhere. What if we do repent? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the one who came to pay for our sin and evil and rebellion, to take the penalty for that upon himself, to pay our debt, to make it possible for us to turn. God so loved the world, he sent his Son, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what does it say? Perish, but have everlasting life. We don't have to perish. If we repent, and if we believe upon the Son of God, we will not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, this is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. As we close this morning, I'll ask you to stand if you would. As they get a song, you know, if you have this hope, it will give you an unshakable boldness to face this fallen and uncertain world with incredible, unshaken boldness. Last scripture, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Paul sitting in prison. He could be executed. He could be released. Listen when he writes to the Philippians. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You hear that boldness? This week, one of two things is going to happen. I'll either live or I'm going to die. But guess what? I can have boldness. I can have boldness. If it's my week for an accident, I can have boldness. You know what? I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. Because you know, if you have Christ, you're going to be okay. I left UT Hospital two Thursdays ago. You know what was in my mind? I praise God that it was in Brady's mind too. He's going to be okay. I got the call from Jana. I began to pray when I got off my knees. In my mind, I said, he's going to be okay. What's Tori going to do? What's Pearson going to do? God answered that question. they're going to be okay. Because my grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for widows. It's sufficient for little boys who lose their dad. I've been there before for them, and I brought them through it, and I'll do it again. Tori's going to be okay. Pearson's going to be okay. If Brady doesn't make it to UT, Brady's going to be okay. Because, you know, I also have this other memory of a few years ago. I was at William Blount High School. An invitation was given. I remember seeing Brady go up front. He was fighting. He's fighting pride. Everybody already thinks you're saved, Brady. Don't hold your seat. Don't go. You know how hard it is for a church kid to go get saved? I praise God for his boldness that night to go up and say, I need to be saved. He's going to be fine. He's been in a terrible accident. He's going to be fine. Because I remember seeing that. And it wasn't about the act itself. It's that he put his faith in Jesus Christ. He'll be fine. He has eternal life. Everlasting life. He'll be fine. And not only that, Tori's trusting in Christ. Pearson is there as they're teaching him about Christ and trusting in Christ. They're going to be just fine. Why? Because they have Jesus Christ. Because they have Jesus Christ. I walked away from UT Hospital knowing he's stable. It's no longer life-threatening, but it could be life-altering. And I left there. We prayed together. And it broke my heart. I hate to think about him suffering and being alone. I want to be there with him. I want to ride the helicopter with him. But he's not alone. Christ is with him. Christ is going to give him peace. I can't give him peace even if I rode there with him. I'd probably just be sitting there crying. I'm not going to bring any peace. Christ can give him peace. Christ says, I'll ride with him. I'll jump in. I'll ride with him. And here's the thing. What if he loses his hand? His grace is sufficient. God will use it. Brady's going to be just fine. Why? Because he has Christ. Because he has the best surgeons? No, because he has Christ. He's going to be fine. He's going to be okay. He has trusted in Christ, and we sang about it all morning. And Jesus will not let him down. He will not let him down. Jesus still died on that cross, and he rose again on the third day. And if Brady is trusting Christ, then he is. He will not let him down. If you know Christ as your Savior, how do you respond? How do you respond when bad things happen? If you have Christ, you have hope, and you're going to be just fine. But if you don't have Christ, you're not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay, and you're not going to be okay. Christ is the determining factor. Bad things are going to happen. You better make sure you've got him. As we close this morning, I think this is a perfect song. We're going to sing the goodness of God. If you need to come and pray, I'll pray with you this morning. Listen to the words of this song as we sing. If you need to come, I encourage you to come. If you need to be saved, I encourage you to come.